love to you. Ooh, yeah, love to you.
So a couple of weeks ago, it was the 2012 Tullet Prebon London Boat Show. As you know, you can go on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Audio postcards, find out the coverage that we actually did on press day there. It's still available, will be for the rest of the next few months. We were very, very inspired by a whole range of things there, including obviously the Sunseeker yachts and the whole stack of other things. But one individual in particular stood out as being just, this guy's going to be a legend in all sorts of ways, for all sorts of reasons. We are talking about the founder and chief executive officer of course, Inspired Life. Life.org, the legend that is Richard Harpham. Richard, are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
Splendid.
So, thank you for those kind words. Yeah, it doesn't sound like me, so you must be talking about
I think, you know, it was Sarah Huntley and Natalie Turk and myself were blown away by the range of things you were doing there. For the benefit of Jerry Cookies, who's in the studio at present, just talk to us about this excellent adventure that you've been involved with, where you're basically clocking up thousands and thousands of miles and going to Alaska, going through all sorts of things. You're heading off to Norway. In fact, you're up in Scotland at present, is that right?
I am. Bizarrely, I'm in the on the Royal Mile in sort of like a whiskey emporium. My brother's just looking around here. But it's like being in a library, really. They've never seen so many whiskies in one place. It's amazing.
Well, you know, that's a positive thing. And I have to say, the other fantastic thing, which we need to flag up as well, because it's essential, I know, wearing his sporty hat, and I mean, Jericho's keen footballer, he's off to actually play for Fishburne Park later on this morning. But you actually were the coach for, and this is like Cool Runnings come to life. Richard, you were the coach for which African country in which Winter Olympics games?
The country was Ghana, and it was the Vancouver Winter Olympics. I can't claim to be the coach. I was the manager.
Yeah.
And for those that know what my skiing's like, they would wonder how I would ever coach anyone. But I'm a sort of reasonable recreational skier, but you see these guys and girls race down a mountainside at 70 to 100 miles an hour. And, I definitely couldn't claim to be the coach. But it was, without doubt, the most extraordinary rollercoaster ride of my life.
I mean, I've got to ask the question, and we come back to the movie Cool Runnings, but Ghana, obviously Africa, you know, not a lot of snow, you know, in various ways. Kilimanjaro, quite a way, go up there for quite some time. How did you get the gig in the first place? Because you must have thought this is a wind-up, you know, people actually asking me to actually be the manager for the Vancouver Winter Olympics for the Ghana team, you know. How did it manifest?
Well, I think, you know, sometimes in life, if you're open to the kind of possibilities, and that's certainly been the journey I've been on, is just considering, that life will take a kind of winding road, and if you say can do, and you say yes to things, new opportunities open. So I've been running a Facebook for sport, which sadly doesn't exist anymore, but I kind of founded this whole, you know, could we find a place where people could share their love of sport? And the most incredible thing about that was I got to work with so many amazing people, Olympians, world champions. And one of those was Kwame Nkrumah Achimpong, a ski racer from Ghana. And we basically, in the same way you are, kind of covered his story online and did a video interview and a few other things. And I was then kayaking 1,000 miles from Vancouver up to Alaska.
As you do.
And he was sending emails. Yeah, as you do. Yeah, that was on the Tuesday.
What's he doing today? He's kayaking from Vancouver to Alaska. Why? Whatever, you know.
Yeah, you've got to put it in that kind of way.
Yeah.
But what happened was he was sending an email saying it'd be brilliant if you could be my manager. And I was, you know, and it kind of came across as being his agent. And I was like, well, you know what, I'm not sure that's actually, you know, what I'm about. Anyway, I was doing 13-hour days, and there was quite a lot of time to think. And I thought, well, actually, you know, stating the obvious, it would be quite amazing to go to an Olympics. And so I got off the water in somewhere in Alaska and dropped him an email saying, yeah, okay, you know, I'm interested. And he had no funding. I mean, his extraordinary story was that in six years he qualified for an Olympics, had no funding, and was basically, there he was. He was the first athlete, winter athlete from Ghana. Real sort of trailblazing stuff. And the consequence of which was, you know, I ended up walking in the Olympic ceremony, most incredible privilege and honour. And to be involved with someone like that was just an opportunity of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And how did he do in the end, just out of interest?
Well, I mean, that's really interesting because I was sort of pacing around at the bottom of the ski slope for the two races that he had on the 27th of February 2010. And by then, we'd had more media coverage than any other team. And, you know, then you were thinking, crikey, if he doesn't make it down this slope...
It's a disaster. I'll have to shoot him.
Again?
It's a disaster. I'll have to execute him.
Well, to be honest, it was... You know when all the pieces of the jigsaw are there for the fairy tale ending, but you have absolutely no control. He's the skier, he's at the top, looking down an extraordinary steep slope that was terrible conditions that actually delayed the race by a day. And he was number 102 of 102, so he was the last man standing, really. And as you know, I think by the time he started, 50 skiers had skied out of the field. So a lot of the big guns, Ked Legacy, Bodie Miller, some of these guys were already out. It was really tough. And, you know, I was like, oh, this could go so badly wrong. Anyway, he skied well, made it to the bottom. And then, of course, you're like, damn, that's only half the job done. He's got to do it all again. And fortunately, he managed to do that. And, I mean, you know, he would never have been anywhere near a podium place, but there probably should have been a fourth place medal, you know, for him for, you know, having done that. And he didn't start skiing until he was 29.
Which just shows that, you know, anything quite literally is possible. Jericho, questions for Richard, possibly about inspiredlife.org, or how he can inspire yourself to kind of win for Fishburne Park today, you know, all of that scenario that's coming through.
Yeah, have you got any inspiring words that I could say to my team? Because we're at the bottom of the league at the moment, actually, and been to the Olympics and managing a national... Like, team, I was wondering if you had any words I could pass on.
Well, I think, you know, what I experienced with Kwame very much, I think, has already been highlighted about, you know, it's often we try and define what's possible and impossible from kind of what we know or what we think we know. And I think often, I mean, I was on a course recently with somebody who helped Nelson Mandela, a guy called Mickey Valachek, who helped to re-engineer South Africa. And my take from that course was that, you know, if you can get to a place where you consider possibilities such that your future is not defined by your past, then everything, you know, almost anything is possible. And I just really like that way of trying to approach life, that this can do, and, you know, my future is not defined by my past. So in that context, you know, imagine I was at school going, here, I'm going to manage a ski team. Oh, where are they from? Ghana. Do they have a ski team? No. What do you like at skiing? Rubbish. I mean, it just would be so many impossibilities that you would, you know, what would the probability be? It would be off the scale. So I think that, you know, my words are that whatever kind of, and that's what Inspired Life has been about, really, is, you know, whatever your dream is, then, you know, pursue it. Whether it's writing a book, why not? If it's being a brilliant chef, or being brilliant at woodworking or sports or whatever it is, I think, you know, if not you, then who? Why not you? Why can't you achieve those things? And I think even if you don't achieve the full goal, the journey is so amazing.
We're going to talk a lot more about inspiredlife.org, and clearly you mentioned the Olympic word, the O word that's actually there. I know that one of the things that you bring to the company is providing links with Olympians and British athletes and athletes across the area who can actually go into schools. And, you know, we've just been talking this morning about how Brand Beckham is developing its own way. There are lots of other sports people who are very inspiring in their own way, who, you know, often they do have that kind of stardust, that sort of magic, you know, that you actually bring to them. And you must notice this, Richard, when you actually sort of introduce those to both, you know, students and youngsters and school children, all of those sort of things, it does actually help lift people's spirits.
Well, I think so. I mean, what we do with our role model programs, and I mean, we've had 3,500 young people through the programs already, and we've now created 5 different sort of mechanisms, I suppose, to build self-esteem, emotional literacy, and raise aspiration. But we definitely use role models for that. And we ask the question, or the questions about, You know, who are your role models? And often, of course, we want to have that bit of magic and that bit of stardust with people that we perhaps aspire to be like, but we don't know. But the other side to that is there are people that we do know that are in our lives, and they might be a teacher, they might be a sports coach, they might be a scout leader. And I can definitely say from my life, I've had some of those people that have just been so supportive, and for whatever reason have seen a bit of potential in me, and they've been the ones to say, you know, why don't you try that? We'll support you. And I think the other thing we say to young people is, you know, your dream, whatever it is, having people around you that can support that is a huge, huge thing. And that may not always be family. You know, sometimes it is mum, dad, brother, but often it can be somebody else that just, you know, sees that potential.
Now, Richard, you're currently with somebody else, so you said, would we like to have a word with them, etc.? Would you like to share your sort of colleague who's here as well, and we'll sort of give
yeah,
a big build-up here?
Yeah, I'll just get Glenn.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
There we are, that second.
So,
I really like that saying.
I'm just going to introduce, this is Glenn Charles, and he's my expedition buddy for the spare seat. So, you know, if I think I've done some things, he's done more than twice what I've done.
This is Richard and Glenn's excellent adventure we're talking about here. And in fact, Richard, talk us through this whole marvellous thing. So we're delighted to say, Glenn Charles, are you there?
I'll put Glenn on for a second. We've only got one phone between us.
That's okay. That's no worries.
I'll put him on for a little while. And I mean, certainly how we met and how this whole story of the spare seat has developed is pretty extraordinary in its own right.
Excellent. Okay, there we are. So from Richard Holcomb.
Hello.
Hi, Glenn Charles. Good to actually connect with you. Welcome to the good ship Southside Broadcasting. Glenn, share with us this whole wonderful thing about the Glenn and Richard's excellent adventure. Just talk us through, because this is amazing. I have to say, for the listener and indeed yourself, Jericho, this is quite amazing, Glenn. How many miles have you covered? What sort of things have you been doing globally so far?
Yeah, so I think it's an honor to be on, so thank you. I've done about 13,000 miles of human power over the last 3 years by kayak and bicycle. So, and that's how Richard and I actually met 3 years ago, as we were both kayaking up the Inside Passage to Alaska. Just kind of out of the mist, I saw Richard and his partner and paddled over, and we've kind of built this friendship ever since.
This was something which just amazed me, actually, because, I mean, I think we just need to 13,000 miles via kayak and bicycle over the last...
It's quite a bit.
Well, I mean, if you were clocking up air miles, a whole range of things. What was it that first started you off on this road, this adventure, though? Because, I mean, there are people who might say, well, just, I don't know where to start on that one. I mean,
I think whenever you hear stories of people that have done things like this, there's generally something that has pushed them off the edge and set them down a different path than what normal society defines as life. And so for me, it was about 4 years ago. I really just was at a crossroads in my life, and I decided to sell everything. So I got rid of my home and my car and all my material possessions, and I bought a used kayak and started paddling around and just fell in love with the concept of adventure. And like I tell my family, I've just never decided to stop. And I think it really has been an amazing experience, not only from a human power standpoint, you know, being able to power yourself all over the place, but just the incredible stories, the incredible people that I've met, including where I'm at now with Richard and the spare seat that we've got coming up, the opportunity that we have to really change some lives and to tell a tremendous story as we paddle through the New York waters.
So talk us about this spare seat program. What exactly is it? How can people get involved? How can people show support and so on?
Yeah, so the spare seat is really an opportunity for us to showcase the amazing wildlife and nature of New York State. So what Richard and I are doing, come the beginning of May, we will be paddling two tandem kayaks starting at Niagara Falls. coming down the Erie Canal and then making a right-hand turn coming down the Hudson River and ending up at the Statue of Liberty down in New York. And what will happen is each day Richard and I will pick up a new person to join us in the spare seat. And to get involved, what people can do is they can go to www.thespareseat.com. You can read all about it. We've got, oh gosh, almost 10,000 pounds of prizes that we're giving away. And the grand prize is a trip for two over to the States, and they'll join us for an expedition for 3 days, all expenses paid. It's going to be quite a journey.
I know one of my other colleagues from Siren FM has already sort of put in a bid for that. Jericho, will you be sort of taking part in this competition for the spareseat.com? Does it appeal to yourself?
It sounds good. It sounds really good, actually. I'd be interested in that.
So, questions?
Yeah, it's really going to be amazing. And I think what we're most excited about is the stories that we'll be able to tell from these different people that join us each day. So I think even if you don't win, it's going to be great to follow along. We're going to have lots of video, lots of beautiful photos, and hopefully we'll have a great story to tell by the end of the trip.
And I trust, Glenn, that given that you're going to be on East Coast time, you'll be pretty much tied in to do some features with us at our midweek drive shows as well, because obviously we need to keep our listeners appraised of the great work yourself and Richard are actually doing.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Jericho, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, what's been the hardest obstacle you've had to overcome on this journey?
Oh, gosh. I think there have been two. There's my journey has been solo. So I've traveled alone for these 13,000 miles, and I think that required, a level of mental toughness, if you will, just the day in and day out solitude that I would have. Some of my trips have been through very remote portions of the world, and that was a challenge, I think. The other was really, honestly, it was financial. I mean, it's learning how to live hand to mouth. And trusting in the fact that there are great opportunities and great people out there, and that you don't have to be a millionaire to go out and achieve amazing things.
Just out of interest, you mentioned obviously you had this big decision to say, right, I'm going to sell all my possessions and sort of just take up this routine. What was your day job before you sort of decided to take part and trust everything to the universe, so to speak, and follow your dream?
Well, my original day job for the first 20 years of my life, I'm a little older than Richard, I was in computers, and then my second day job was photography. It was always my love and my passion, and I think really the world has kind of changed with photography, and I just found it very difficult to continue making a living that way. So, it was a combination of a number of things, and I just felt this calling to get rid of the material world for a while. I guess in a nutshell, that was it.
Glenn, it's fantastic. I know we look forward to featuring again in the very near future. I trust you've had a reasonably okay telephonic link with us here on Southside Broadcasting today.
Yes. Do you want me to put Richard back on?
That would be splendid. And I say we'll speak again with your good self shortly. So we'll say happy trails to Glenn Charles in every sense of the word from that point of view. And hopefully the phone will now be passed back to Richard Harpen. A reminder, of course, a couple of websites there. We'll put them all on southsidebroadcasting.com, inspiredlife.org, of course, and thespareseat.com. Richard, are you back with us now?
He's here. Thank you very much.
Splendid. Cheers now. That's great.
Hello.
Hi, Richard. Well, there we are. I mean, just two fine ones. I mean, I know we've shared your own sort of life story in terms of this, but genuinely, I think hats off to you in every sense of the word. It kind of puts things into perspective, doesn't it, Jericho?
Really? It really does, yeah. And what keeps playing on my mind is your future's not defined by your past. When Richard said that, I really like that.
There we are. You see it.
Well, that was a friend of mine who was actually on the course. I was like, well, what did you take from it? And he's a guy called Richard Brooks, and this was at Cranfield University. I was very fortunate enough to do a master's there, and this was long after the master's. I went back for this short course with this guy who, again, is very incredible. He'd been a motor racing driver, and he'd been an Atlantic yachtsman, and this guy had re-engineered South Africa, and this whole thing was about sort of transformational leadership and this idea of, how do we step change what we're capable of. And I think, there are lots of examples where sport or music or something defines us, and it brings people to the most incredible places. And I think, it's not always about where you're going, it's also about the journey.
Richard, we are delighted to be sharing your journey for part of the setup. I trust you've had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today on Southside Broadcasting.
We've really enjoyed it, definitely.
Excellent. I have to say, hats off to
Richard. Probably hoped so much of your time.
No, I think I woke him up this morning when I phoned him up to say, do you remember me? We were up for that? He said, yeah, okay, we'll go with this, basically. So are you happy for us to sort of become a fairly regular followers and effectively also, obviously, covering your great adventures over the next few weeks? I know we're scheduling you to join us on the midweek drive 1st of February, but are we up for hopefully sort of following up through, including, of course, that grand trip from New York, really? From Niagara to New York.
We would love that. And I mean, just to put it in perspective, Glenn and I were out bivvying with two friends, so camping by the side of the River Tweed two nights ago. It was 1 degree, above freezing, starry night. And, part of what we also want to say is, of course, we're doing big adventures, but, you know, this is on the Scottish borders. And you know, what did it involve? It involved getting in a canoe with a tarp and a bivvy, but you could take a tent. And it's, you know, so many things are accessible. It's just about taking the first step. So, it's not all about the big adventures either.
Richard Harpham from inspiredlife.org and indeed Glenn Charles, we salute you both. Take care, enjoy yourselves, and we will speak to you again very soon.
Thank you very much.
I see trees.